Welcome back, everybody. This week on Toys on Tap, we have an incredible new toy artist, but long-time digital artist coming on the podcast, Manny Cartoon Studios. Incredible work. Incredible work. Has done commission work for me, knows what to do, knows how to do packaging, is now dabbling in toy designing with 3D and Nomad, and then is also a wizard at packaging. If you want more Toys on Tap, you can like, follow, rate, review, subscribe wherever you get podcasts. If you want even more, you can follow us on all socials at Toys on Tap, even the YouTube channel. I'm shooting for 100, so let's hit 100 subscribers on YouTube. That would be amazing. And if you want even more, each artist has an extra 20 minutes that you can only get on the Patreon called the Nitty Gritty. It's $3 a month. That's less than a cup of coffee. Come sign up and get more time with your favorite artists. Now let's get to this week's episode of Toys on Tap.
All good. There we go.
What's up?
Hey, buddy.
What?
Yeah. What's up? Good, man. It's funny. Everything works. And then yesterday I had another Zoom meeting and I did was go out, come back in, and then everything was fine.
Yeah.
So.
Dude, I'm pumped. You sent that message this morning and it was like, kismet.
I am a firm believer that if you do not ask, you cannot be mad if it doesn't happen.
Yes.
It's the simplest thing in the world.
You were on my list to come on because I'm about to start booking through like April-ish.
Yeah.
Because since we're in March, I have a couple in April, but I'm going to book April to probably July. And so I was working through that kind of stuff. And you were on that list. But every once in a while, at least what's happened lately is that there's been a couple people that have gotten sick. But before we start anything, mm-hmm. Even though a lot of this is going to be in the episode, I am big on packaging. You're really good at packaging unboxing. You like nailed the packaging. The job that I have outside of what I do, I work with students, and we had a regular night, and we through something called Cardboard Night, where all the games are cardboard themed. We wrapped the entire room in cardboard and did all kinds of weird stuff like that. And out of one of the boxes fell this little pamphlet.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, what is it? And I started going through it. And it is the coolest thing that I am now going to take and use and like replicate for Toys on Tap. So it opens. It has a little thing that like it opens like that.
Yes.
Boom.
Yes.
Boom. Boom.
I love that.
Isn't that insane? And then it, like, you print on all sides.
So you're going to want to, if you're a packaging nerd, you're going to want to follow it's a company named Dapper Notes.
I'm going to write that down.
He's my boy. He is one of my favorite human beings. And he makes these gorgeous notebooks. So he works with artists and he produces these beautiful little pocket notes. And I'm looking around. I know I have some on my shelf, but I recently reorganized my shelf, so I don't have any at hand.
Well, I'm going to look him up while we're talking.
So he does, first of all, the greatest ASMR videos, because everything is, because he has like giant cutting machines at his house. So it's like chunk and shlish, and then the gluing, and then the like, he'll print fabric with the art. So it's all that. But then what's produced is this beautiful little pocket notebook.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say packaging, I helped him. I created a mascot for him, which is a little dapper little guy whose body is actually like a notebook. And then he created that and created a whole system for himself. He has a very similar box for packaging the notebooks. And in the corner of the little thing, very similar to what you showed,
yeah,
is a little circle cut out that shows the corner of each notebook.
Mm.
And it's like letterpress stuff, paper. So it's all like embossed printing. It is absolutely gorgeous.
Is this the type of thing where like I go to him and I like, hey, I want to make these. Do you know how to, or can I pay you to make these? What do we?
You can pay him to make, you can commission him to make a notebook. But Dapper Notes is a thing where you sign up for the year and you get, I believe it's once a month, you get one of the artist series of notebooks,
mm-hmm.
essentially. He has the same way you were saying that you have this catalog of people that you're bringing in that you've scheduled for interview.
Mm-hmm.
He has the next 2 years of artists already slotted.
How the heck? That's so crazy.
He is so organized and like a beautiful human being to learn to know, a freaking Shopify wizard, and like to his friends, like the most helpful, most like beautiful human being.
Yeah.
But amazing. Again, packaging and his product photos are to die for.
That's what I like to hear.
He's shot some of my stuff and I'm like, how the hell are you doing that? It's gorgeous.
Mm. Before we go any further into like what we're going to keep talking about, all that stuff, please tell us who you are and what you do.
All right. So I go by Manny Cartoon Studio.
Rotella Resale, your premier collectibles, toys, and novelty retailer. Find the best and hard-to-find diecast vehicles and action figures. Some of the most popular vinyl LPs, Zippo lighters, and comics. Support the best artists with our rock t-shirts and posters. You will find so much more at RotellaResale.com with free shipping on U.S. orders. Use promo code RADIO for 10% off your order. Visit RotellaResale.com. That is RotellaResale.com.
On Instagram. I've been around like 20 something years in one way or another, doing comic conventions, all kinds of stuff. I'm mainly a character designer. So I design like mascot characters. People use them for stickers. I've had a few people use them for animation. I've done kids books. I've done t-shirts. I've done all kinds of stuff. And as of less than a year ago, I started sculpting in Nomad and turning my attentions to 3D finally, because I've been wanting to make a toy and been saying for years that I wanted to do decon and that I wouldn't do it without a toy. And the only way to do that, at the beginning at least, is to do it your damn self. So, yeah. You know, the consistency is character design and everything else just kind of comes and goes, but it all comes back to the character design stuff.
Yeah. What's crazy is I didn't even find you through Toys on Tap, if I remember correctly. I found you because you did a design of my Astron character.
Yeah, you asked me if I was taking commissions, and I said yes, and then you hit me with the Astron, and I can never say no to a space character. Like,
yeah, I don't know, I don't even remember how I came across your account.
Have been through Making a Mutant?
I don't know if you were connected to them at the time. I don't know, but I reached out to like Turbo Pork and. There's a like six or seven that I reached out to all at the same time because I wanted to see what it would look like perhaps to have Astron in different things. And because the I'm like grand picture thing. I'm working on comic issue one with an artist right now, and then comic issue two, because Astron will be able to jump dimensions, every couple pages will be designed by a new artist.
Ooh, nice.
Because I need it to look like it's another dimension. And so nice. I have a couple of the designs from the current one right now, right next to me. But like we're working on that because it became a dream project. But and so I was looking at different artists, and you came in, and I immediately was like, oh, this is great. Do you do this? And so, I mean, you've been around for so long, and I do want to get there. But design and toys are kind of your thing right now. Mm-hmm. And have been, it sounds like, for a while. Mm-hmm. Walk me back to childhood. What are the toys that you're playing with? What are the shows that you're watching? What are the doodles you're creating? All that stuff.
The coolest toy I owned as a little kid was this really awesome, and what I learned is in a ridiculously hard to find thing and just super graily for a lot of people, mm-hmm. a Voltron.
Yeah.
The old school die cast transforming Voltron. This thing was gorgeous. And I don't know if I lost him in a move. I don't know how I lost him, but I was like a little kid. And I used to watch Voltron as a kid, like when I was growing up, and it was on at like ridiculously early in the morning in the 80s. And I was like fascinated, and my mom managed to put together the cash to get me this thing. Mm-hmm. And that's like, I'm fascinated to this day with like robots and all kinds of that sort of stuff. And I saw recently flipping through Instagram or YouTube recently, somebody who collects lightsabers, and he was specifically talking about the lightsaber that I had as a kid. In 83, they came out with what I call the Wiffle lightsaber. Mm-hmm. Which it's hollow on the inside, and it has the little holes and I think like springs. So you just wave it around and it makes the noise. It is completely just hollow plastic. Mm-hmm. And I had I'm pretty sure it was a bootleg of it, because it was like orange. It wasn't red. It was like orange. So I had some of that stuff. And then I had, you know, Transformers and the usual, and I think I had some Turtles and stuff like that. But the thing I ended up holding on to a lot of was McDonald's toys.
Yeah.
You know, part of it I think was an economic thing, but part of it was also just like, as a kid, I would look at this like hunk of plastic, but that had some piece of engineering into it or some really clever little sculpted bit of something, and I was just like, this is cool. Size wise, this is cool. The gift, the surprise of it all, I thought was really cool.
Yeah, I mean, the McDonald's toys as a whole were phenomenal. They like and then to find out that most of them were sculpted by in the 90s Scott Hensey is unreal.
Yeah.
But they like, I remember all the toys as a kid, and they just were so much better. Or at least I don't know. I don't know like if they were actually better, but they just felt better than any of the toys you see now. One of the toys that is a Happy Meal toy that came from Taco Bell. It came out in the 90s, and it was like this space cartoon called Space Goofs.
Okay.
And all the toys were like weird, but there was this one toy where the refrigerator opened and all the Space Goofs, the aliens, were in it, and there were six of them, and they were all bent in weird things like a puzzle, and you had to get them and fit them all in to this fridge. It was such a cool idea. And I actually used the fridge for an art project I was doing, but nice. It was like, dude, those toys were so good.
I love like a fun little bit of engineering. Like they're working on no money. It's a giveaway. There's just, you know, tiny budget, put all of it into sculpting, because sculpting doesn't necessarily cost you as much as like the tooling and, you know, the whatever, but some mechanical bit of engineering that just kind of gets you there. You know, you can't have, you know, batteries. It can't have this. It can't have that. What can it do? Well, we're going to make this penguin car that when you pull it back, not only does it go, but that also drives the umbrella in the front. So the umbrella in the front spins, and we're going to paint it like a swirl. So it's going to do all the stuff. And it just, you know, makes your eyes go big and, you know, freaks you out a little bit, and then makes you enjoy it, you know. And it's the surprise of the thing. And, you know, why do you think the blind bag thing is so popular again? We miss it.
Yeah, we miss those, like opening the small packages and
yeah.
When did you start moving towards art? Because you like, you're an artist now, and right. you're now doing animation styles and stuff. At what point did you leave toys behind when you were a little kid, and then like move into art? How did that happen?
So I've been an artist as long as I can, literally as long as I can remember. As you know, from the time that I was a little kid, my mom would bring me home like this. She worked at a big company that would sort of cast off printer paper, and it was this old school like computer paper that like the top half was white and then the bottom half was blue, because it was meant to be for this like real specific perforated form. And I would just eat the paper, like just scribble, 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 try and figure a thing out. And if it didn't work, the next piece of paper, and just kind of trying to figure stuff out. As long as I can remember, I left toys behind, I think when most people did, like early teens, but it wasn't for girls. My art habit got more expensive, and I would try to get into other things. I tried to get into video games back. Like, I had a Nintendo for like a year, and the games were always really expensive and everything else. And I was just like, I'd rather buy art supplies, and then I'd get into something else. My friends at the time like messed with me over, and I'll never hear the end of it. Was I got into Magic cards in 95, I think, when they like first came out, and I had them for a while, and my high school friends were richer than I was and like had more access to cash in general. And I was like, I cannot buy these cards. I cannot buy the cards that will allow me to win, and I'm not very good at a strategy game. So I sold my cards immediately. Mm-hmm. Like, I played for like 2 months and got right out of it, because I felt like I was priced out, and I was like, I'd rather spend the money. Again, art supplies, art books, all this stuff. And
yeah,
that was just always the focus.
And did you end up going to, with such an art background and wanting to do art so much, did you end up going to art school? Did you end up? Okay. Where'd you go to art school?
My first year out of high school, I went to SCAD for sequential art. And that was really cool. I met a bunch of really cool people and had some fun and learned some stuff. But I also think I wasn't ready. So I ended up coming home back to Miami and did a 3-year graphic design course, which I think was a bit more helpful in the long run than what I was doing in sequential. It opened me up a little bit, and I was able to find jobs doing other things that I had some skill with. And I really liked like learning a variety of things. One of my professors got me an internship doing like t-shirt design, and that kind of blew my mind. And I found myself being really useful, which I'm a sucker for being useful. Like, if I like a project and there's something I can sink my teeth into, or you need some kind of some art piece, some you know, character-y thing or some, you know, illustrative thing that I can do. I do that really well, and I can, you know, run with a project and whatever. And I learned about all kinds of stuff that isn't really as in vogue as it used to be, but like knocking designs down to like one or two colors to make printing easier and stuff like that gives you a whole, like, it opens you up to a bunch of really cool aesthetic choices that are slowly now becoming more interesting to people, because people are doing a lot of like home silk screening as an art form in and of itself. So yeah. somebody with that skill is actually kind of useful. Again, and it's not just like DTF transfers or whatever, you know, people are doing like home silk screening. So can you knock something down to two colors? Yes. You know, can you do this? Yes. Cause you know, old school knowledge is, you know, comes back in style every once in a while.
Yeah. You know, what's crazy. There's companies out there that do these, like with, along with silk screening, water reveal shirts, which is one thing, which is insane. And then two, sun reveal shirts.
Oh, nice.
I have never heard of those things. And I stumbled across this website, and this company does both of them. And it was like, holy crap.
There was something in the 90s that was essentially that. So when it got hot out, your t-shirt would change colors.
Yeah. Oh,
while
Gecko.
You were wearing it.
Yeah, Gecko.
Yeah.
They were at DesignerCon, actually.
Man.
I've seen so many ads where it's like a yellow shirt and you put your hand on it and it turns like red or something.
Yeah.
I had, as a kid, I mean, I grew up in the 90s, so I'm not like great. I'm only 33. I found pictures that it was like me in the 90s wearing these like 90s themed shorts and pants, and they're all Gecko or whatever brand, just hot garbage. Like, I should have never been wearing that kind of stuff.
I love all that. I'm a sucker for all that kind of stuff. There was a guy, I think he was at DCon, maybe not this year, but his main, and he was doing apparel design in like the late 80s, early 90s. The main character is a gorilla wearing sunglasses and a hat, and the hat has the little fabric back here.
Is it a pink hat?
Yeah, and he's always like surfing and skating and stuff.
Yeah, it's man, I can see Steve Nazar.
I love his stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I owe him a lot, because I would see his stuff and just like that. I would see his stuff. I needed permission as a kid. So I was a nut buying comic books all the time. The comic book thing lasted forever for me for like the longest time. But I would look at comic books and go, well, you don't really fit there, because I've always done more cartoony stuff. Like, I can stretch style wise, but my happy place is really cartoony stuff. So until I would see somebody doing cartoony things in a comic book, I was like, well, I guess, okay, so this guy's here, so maybe I can do this. And then I would see like his stuff on t-shirts and very similar sort of skate surf stuff. And so I was born with cerebral palsy. I don't walk very well. I don't have great balance. I don't, like, you know, I keep both feet on the ground firmly because I don't want to like fall and whatever. I had a couple of friends growing up in my early teens that were skaters. So they would show me, I think it was Trans World, the skate magazine, the skate catalog magazine. And I had never bought a skateboard, but I had a subscription to the catalog because the art was so cool. And I was like, oh, I could do this in my sleep. Let's do this. Can I, like, how the hell can I figure out how to do this? So, you know, I was enamored with a bunch of stuff that, I don't know. I've never heard a lot of artists talk about it, but art is kind of its own little subset of things. You can be into music and be an artist, and then that's great because
Empire Blister. Empire Blisters. Specializing in action figure blisters. 3.75 inch or 1/18 scale. 19 different styles. Two sizes of clamshell figure cases. Four different bulk pack options. Quantities of 100 sample packs available. Empire Blisters.
Now sponsor Toys on Tap.
That means a 10% off coupon on checkout. Use code Toys on Tap 10. That's TOYSOMTAP 10.
Empire Blisters. Empire Blisters.
You're in this group that likes a particular kind of music and you're the artist in that group. So that's helpful. You can be into this other thing and be an artist. And that's cool because you're part of that group and you're the artist in that group. I've always been kind of a weird space because I am the artist in an artist group.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like I can glom onto, like every time I glom onto something, whether it's t-shirts or skateboards or toys or something else, I'm not necessarily a part of that group as much as I appreciate what's being produced by that group and want to be part of making the cool stuff that I'm seeing. And it's only recently that I've come to terms with the idea that I don't give a fuck. Like, I think that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, artists don't have a ton of money, so I'm not going to be the person who's going to buy somebody's $40, $60, $80, $150 figure.
Mm-hmm.
But I appreciate it, and I will tell, like, okay, for instance, your guests, when I listen to one of your shows, I always look up the artist because, again, I don't know any of these guys because I'm only starting to come into things. So a thing that I've established for myself going back like 5 or 6 years is if I'm listening to a show and they introduce me to somebody and I like something they said, let's look at the artwork and see if whatever. And at the very least, I DM them and thank them for being on the show and talking about their work and whatever. Because I think A, it helps the podcast because they see on some level that that artist has made an impact. And B, I would be lying if I didn't say it was for selfish reasons, man. I've made awesome connections that way. Like I've gotten connected with some fantastic people, nice people, giving of their time, giving of their knowledge and whatever. But also, like, I've formed friendships that way, like, on a ridiculous level. Like, I know people I had no business knowing.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic. You know, I fucking love it.
Like, at what point did you get to taking, like, commissions and doing art as a career or as a career slash hobby? Like, how did you get to that point in all this?
So in 2002, some of my high school friends, I ran into them at the mall and they were like, no, we're going to go to MegaCon and I'm in Miami and that's an Orlando show. And I was like, let's do it. You know, I'll take a day off of work. We'll go out for the weekend. And it'll be great. And I loved it, you know, tables and meeting artists and doing all that stuff. The next year I called, when I heard that the show was coming again, I talked to them and they weren't going. And I said to my then girlfriend, I was like, hey, do you want to go with me? And she was down. And I said, I don't know if I want to go unless I have something to show, even if it's just to attend. Cause I'm a weirdo dork who feeds off of acceptance on some level. So like just walking up to another artist feels weird because I'm not anybody, and I want them to know sooner than later that, you know, we might not be on the same level business-wise or career-wise or anything, but they can, we can talk.
Mm-hmm.
So she was like, well, get off your ass and make something, which is generally my wife's attitude about a lot of things, which is awesome. She's an artist also. So it's, we feed off each other
mm-hmm.
in a lot of ways. And we, in like a month and a half, made a mini comic, like had no idea before we had that conversation. I made a mini comic. So we walked around the show and gave copies to some people, and everybody was like, oh, you got a table. You should table. And I was like, well, I guess I'll table. So the next year we tabled and we tabled with a mentor friend of mine. And that was 2003, I think, 2004. And that was my first time like behind a table feeling like a cartoonist. Really. And that was amazing. And I did it for the next like 15 years, the 12, between 12 and 15 years. I'll still do one off and on if I run into somebody.
Holy hell. That's a long time tabling.
Yeah, it was fun. I kind of saw the beginning and end of things. Like when I first started, a half a table was $25, I think.
We interrupt this broadcast of Toys on Tap to bring you this.
Meanwhile, in a galaxy of bootleg treasures.
DOV2, we have engine failure. We must crash land on DKE Toy Planet.
Oh my, we're doomed.
Wait, salvation. Hooray, we're saved, DOV2. Limited edition custom artist-made action figures and DKE toys.
Check out www.dketoys.com for a full catalog.
Hooray for custom action figures.
DKE.
And the last time I looked, you can't get a half a table in Artist Alley at MegaCon, and they go for $300 and something, almost $400.
Okay.
So, like, it's a lifetime. I saw my friends who had original comics essentially have to, a lot of those guys like stopped because you could do a comic book that has, that's going to take you like a month to do. And, you know, realistically month and a half to produce, and it's going to cost you, you know, $1.50 because you're doing these small runs. And you got to sell it for, you know, X amount of money, or you do one Deadpool pinup and one Harlequin pinup and one like of a select few characters that is one illustration.
Mm-hmm.
And that poster print on good paper, 1117 fully cut, might cost you maybe $3, and you can sell that thing for 10 or 15.
Yeah.
If you're in the right business. So the incentive isn't there.
Yeah.
The incentive to be original isn't there. You know, I saw the same thing happen with fan t-shirts. I remember at the beginning, people had to be like weird and sort of obscure about their references. And people were doing all like, you know, the Death Star topiary, you know, and all this kind of weird sort of stuff. And now everything kind of just looks like an officially licensed t-shirt. Like the people don't even do as many like mashups to where they kind of show a little bit of style and a little bit of flair. You just see bootlegs.
Yeah.
Essentially. And to me, I'm like, why? Why? What does that do for you? Like if you're going to do a Ninja Turtle, say, and do this crazy style, or you have this singular style and you do a Ninja Turtle and it's definitely your version, all the power in the world, go for it. But if you're essentially doing something that just looks officially licensed, What are you doing? Why?
Yeah.
Like, I don't get it, I guess, you know, and every, you know, 31 flavors and all that, but you know, to me, you have to bring something to the table.
Yeah. It seems like feeding the beast, right? Capitalism is eating all of us. And so we feed the beast by giving the people what they want.
You know, it's a Ninja Turtle or it's a Stormtrooper or it's a, you know.
Which, I mean, there is a, there's a duo, Plastic Vomit. Creations toys plastic it's I don't know the last word, but they're cool duo, husband wife, knocking it out of the park. They print Star Wars figures, and I think like their versions of them, and they're absolutely rad, and so it's kind of like what you're talking about. Either we can reproduce something that already exists and like bootleg it and do whatever, or we can put our spin on it. And they do colors like no other.
Oh, that icy blue is nice.
Dude, incredible, incredible, incredible. They like knock it out of the park. They have ice. They call them ice. I have an Ewok from them, Wicket, that's like pristine see-through.
Oh, it's, nice. And that's tough.
And they
is it printed plastic or is it resin plastic or is it poured resin?
3D printed. Nice. And which I'm all for. I think it's like keep doing that. And they always come to mind when I think about what it looks like to make something that may exist, but then put your spin on it. Because even like their little things, like the little parts of the suit, they add little touches of silver. And
nice.
They like
the it's like a Force Ghost, essentially.
Yeah, and it's so good. And I'm into all their figures. I really like them. But I get what you're saying. I see it.
There's an artist on the same trip, Stan Solo, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he, I think his bag is what Kenner didn't get to produce.
Yeah.
Essentially. Like he doesn't reproduce. He produces within this beautiful, like thin line of, well, we didn't get that from them and we could have, and it's not even that they plan to do it. It's that they could have done it, or this is what this modern thing looks like in their style, and he does supposedly like amazing, beautiful work. And that's
awesome. Is he the one that did the 375 Bantha?
Possibly.
I think that was them.
I'm exposed to his work mostly through a YouTube channel called Retro Blasting.
Yeah.
He covers a lot of their stuff.
That's a cool group. You know, it's interesting to see. I mean, conventions get really expensive to table at and stuff.
Oh yeah.
Which has kept me from tabling. Also, like having a podcast, I do make toys and I do that kind of stuff. But if I go to a con or a convention or something, whatever you want to call it, I'm only going as Toys on Tap. Like I think that's the way that I want to do this. And
yeah.
It's not feasible because I'm not going to make money to pay for the booth. It's all advertising costs.
Well, and you want to be nimble. You want to be able to grab interviews from people. You want to be able to grab the B-roll. Yeah. You want to be able to grab all the stuff. You can't be tied down to a table.
And so
– they should give you a table.
I'm not even nearly big enough.
No, I'm not – honestly, I'm not joking when I say that. I've been following and part of a sort of a members group of fans of this show called Adventures in Design. It's a it's a design based, it's a design centric podcast, or at least this has been for, you know, I think the guy celebrated like 15 years or something crazy recently. And he does at least 3 episodes a week, and it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
He was, if you'd ever been to, I know you've been to DCon a few times. If you've ever seen their MC, a dude with a red beard, a redheaded dude with a red beard, Mark Berkey. He's their MC.
Okay.
He's the guy who does that podcast. So, you know, the move for you would be to find maybe not a decon, but other like toy based shows that you could talk to about, like, you know, working for them, you know, maybe on a local level or whatever, to do content for them. They would give you access to the show, and then you would also be able to make content for yourself and the show.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I don't know how I'm going to go. I know I have plans for DesignerCon this year, plans to go and hang out with people at a booth and do interviews and stuff, which is cool, but makes it tougher now that's further away, but it'll be great. I'm pumped. But hey, this is not about me. This is about you still.
Sorry. That's my go-to. Give old man advice.
Yeah. You at some point, like as you were drawing and doing these conventions and doing MegaCon for 12 to 15 years is insane. Insane.
Yeah. MegaCon, Heroes Con, a bunch of shows. Florida's kind of like full of it, full of shows and little shows up and all up and down. Heroes Con in Charlotte is, for anybody who's really into comics, it is a fantastic indie comic focused, still focused on comics show, which is absolutely rare. Pretty much every show that I've seen or heard of in the last couple of years has been very anime focused, almost out of necessity.
Mm-hmm. So you did it for so long, and then it sounds like got priced out, which it become because you don't want to do the thing.
I got priced out. I got sort of burned out. My wife looked at me and was like, "You're not having fun anymore at all." Mm-hmm. And I wasn't. And I didn't like what I was seeing. And I get that I'm there to sell my work, but it almost felt like not only were the tables expensive, because you can have an expensive table, but you have to offer a cheap ticket, because if I'm shelling out a bunch of money for a table, you better have great programming for your con so that people are actually entertained. So when they come to me, they're like, "I just went to this awesome panel. I'm going to go do this thing now. And then on my way, I'm going to see a market, something in the Artist Alley market that I'm going to pick up." But if you're charging me a ton of money for a table and you're charging them a ton of money for a ticket, and then your celebrities are charging a ton of money to get a photo with them, they have no money.
Yeah.
So why am I here?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, yeah, what are we doing?
That's tough. I think that there is a middle ground that has to be reached, because without artists, a convention can't happen. But without the convention, artists don't get that much foot traffic. So there's this balance that has to be struck. Yeah. And it's crazy to think that I don't know. It's like the conventions lose touch very quickly because things are so expensive. I get, I understand what they're doing and why they do it. Everything is so expensive. So they have to raise prices. But
artists, and the celebrities have guarantees, which means that they have to meet those guarantees, or the convention is forced to essentially shell out more money. Mm-hmm. So whereas they used to do, like if you had William Shatner at a show, William Shatner had X guarantee and he could spend X amount of time at his table signing and taking photos and whatever, but he'd meet that guarantee. But part of the time of him being at that show is that he would do a panel and they would have all this Q&A stuff and they would do all this other stuff. That time at a panel and actual like being able to enjoy him as a person has shrunk because their guarantees are so high that if they don't spend 90% of the show like just signing and taking photos like trained monkeys, they're not going to make that guarantee.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can meet Sean Astin from the Goonies and you can get your Goonies poster signed and you can get your Sam figure and your whatever, but you're not going to get to see him do some fun Q&A thing. You're not going to get to see him, you know, interact with people. He's not going to have time to like walk the show like they used to and all this other stuff. It just doesn't happen as much anymore.
Yeah, that is a bummer. You know? When it comes to these shows and the point at which you get burnt out and then you leave, how long between that and you taking commissions to do cartoon style work? How long is that?
So while I was doing conventions and stuff, I met a t-shirt printer up in North Florida, and he was giving me pretty decent amounts of freelance work.
Mm-hmm.
I had learned to caricature in some kind of way, so I was doing that kind of stuff. And then I was doing some sketch cover stuff, some sketch cover commissions for people. So there was like a good couple of years where I wasn't doing cons anymore, but I was still kind of getting some commissions here and there. But my day job stuff has also been art focused. So I worked at factories that did like sublimation printing, which is just all like essentially like your all over print type stuff. So I was mm-hmm. doing stuff with that, and I was doing the same way I told you the thing I said this morning. I am not scared of just talking to people.
Mm-hmm.
So on a random vacation in Georgia one year, I heard that there was a comic book store in mm-hmm. the tiny little main street. And I said, let's go check it out. Let's see what it looks like. And this thing had floor to ceiling, like wood paneling everywhere. They had a stuffed beaver, like an actual stuffed beaver in a centerpiece as it's like mascot of the show, mm-hmm. mascot of the store. The people seemed nice. And then I opened my big stupid mouth and I'm like, hey, why don't you guys do more? Because the inside of the store is beautiful, but you're on the second floor and there is nothing downstairs that says there is a beautiful, cool as shit, lumberjack style comic book store up here.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Let's change it. So I made them like a superhero beaver logo mascot thing. We did a couple of t-shirts that were first appearance comics, but beaver themed. Mm-hmm. So like Spider Beaver. That was like a Spider-Man style, like Spider-Man number one, where he's carrying a criminal and instead of a criminal, I turned it into a lumberjack.
Yeah.
He was carrying, and it was like a whole thing, but like aping that style really well. But it was essentially like a cartoony funky mm-hmm. beaver. We did an Incredible Hulk one. We were doing some other stuff. So they were selling what I call like a brand extension, which is we made your mascot this beaver. They put us, you know, they did a window decal
mm-hmm.
with this thing that really calls attention. Brown, it was like this really cool gold and red and white thing on a window. So that's gonna, you know, get people through the door. The t-shirts sold really well with their people. The bottom line is I tell people.
Yeah.
Like, I talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like making connections mostly because I don't like meeting new people. So if I meet somebody, I'm going to make it count.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't want to have to, you know, find somebody else to do something else with, or, you know, I like working with the same kind of people. I like building that network that way.
Yeah. And then at some point you take this commission thing and you start turning towards toys. So yes. what year are we at this point in your story? And then in the last year, you start kind of taking on toys.
Okay. So the pandemic happens.
Yep.
Same old story. The pandemic happens. People start putting up these quarantine collabs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw those on Instagram,
mm-hmm.
but it was a mix of stuff. It's where Draw This In Your Style started. It's there was a lot of like, I'm going to draw half of this thing, and there's a split between this finished face, half of this finished face, and you draw the other half.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that sort of stuff. And I started, I was still going into work, but traffic was nil. So I had a ton of time on my hands, and to kind of chill me out, drawing is my happy place.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point I had pretty much stopped doing a lot of things, but I was working on a children's book at the time, but I wanted to just do more stuff. So I did a bunch of those, and one of those was for Martian Toys. Martian Toys posted a collab, and I was like, here you go. Something fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a version on their like blank thing, their like little blank drawing thing. I did a version of my my space sloth.
Mm-hmm.
They liked it, and we started talking about stuff. And they had me do a colorway of this guy.
Yeah. Dr. 76.
So I'm going to pop him out of the package. It took years in the making between inventory stoppages and all kinds of crazy stuff. But essentially my first toy is this guy.
Nice.
So I did this really funky Planet of the Apes inspired colorway. So he's got this funky angry ape thing going on, and some fun colors and some cool stuff. And he looks really cool, and I'm really proud of him. They've got him at their shop right now. But that was my first toy.
Yeah.
And we've talked a bunch, and the guy's really – he's been nice to me. I know a lot of people have issues with whatever. He asks me to do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very easy. If you ask me to do stuff and I'm interested in doing it, we do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, shockingly, you know, not everybody gets that. And he was going to introduce me to, or he did sort of make the introduction with one of the big mass producer kind of sculptor guys that's out there. And we were talking for a while. But I'm still scared of mass production.
Why?
I don't know it. I can't fund it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that I have an audience yet.
Yeah.
So making anything more than like 5 pieces right now is not something that I'm interested in. Like, I want to build a following,
mm-hmm.
and I'll do that as best I can. But I'm more interested in building that first and not worrying about, oh, this beautiful sculpt is great. I need to find a way to get, you know, a couple grand to do the tooling, and then a couple grand to do a run of figures that I don't know that I can sell.
Yeah.
So I call it fishing,
mm-hmm.
right now, and that's what I'm doing. So I'm sculpting for fun. I'm doing stuff with making a mutant, mm-hmm. which is fantastic practice, a fantastic, amazing community. And I'm talking to people like you and a handful of other folks. I'm doing this for a candy themed show going on in, I want to say, Arizona.
Yeah, those colors are great.
Thank you, man. I found a little secret. Model paint.
Yeah, is that tester?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it actually went it looks really cool. We did a layer of metallic silver with glitter primer.
Mm-hmm.
And then the red parts are the tester paint, and then it was printed in clear. And then I hit the face, the glass part, with Mod Podge, and it looks really yellow in photographs, but in person it looks like friggin' glass.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get it, trying to see if I can get it to show on camera, but because it was all printed in clear, even with the primer, the whole damn thing just kind of is a singular piece of light piping.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, which is pretty freaking cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm working with other artists, and people are helping me do like some articulation stuff.
Yeah.
I look at everything as a sort of I don't need to get it all done at once. So I got him in hands. Thanks to, in no small part, thanks to Murderbird.
Mm-hmm.
And he did me a huge solid, because all my friends who have helped me print in the past were busy.
Mm-hmm.
So he was really helpful. One of the things, well, we were talking about, so everything that I print right now is sort of a stages.
Mm-hmm.
So I get him in hand, and he's a little statue, and I love him, and I baby him, and I cradle him at night.
Yeah.
But the little details, the little spinner for the little coin spinner, and a few other bits, I'm like, I asked the same guy who helps me do the articulation for this. He's going to help me articulate the arms on my little gumball, the arms, and get this spinning.
Yeah. Who helped you? Was it Bootleg Toy Co. or Bastards of the Multiverse? Or?
Well, Bootleg helped me, gave me some advice that I will go through when I have more time to actually print. And then let me get his name, because I always blank on his. One moment, please. A friend of mine from the old days, from the old con days, started recently 3D printing and doing all kinds of fun stuff. And he goes by Niki Tiki.
Mm-hmm.
Nimi Tiki. Okay. We're collabing on a bunch of stuff. He doesn't have a lot of product right now, but we're starting to have some fun doing some like tiki stuff coming.
Yeah.
Because I've always been a big fan of that aesthetic. But he's actually studied and knows 3D, so
yeah,
I'm having him help me with the more technical aspects of stuff.
There are some crazy sculptors out there.
Yeah, I mean, we both know
More horrific. Yeah, insane.
Who is the most positive dude?
Yeah,
to be in his company and to be able to like show stuff back and forth between him and I, like, that's insane. Yeah.
And about to have one of the raddest pieces go up for sale through Bottleneck.
I can only imagine. Like, yeah. if they can get the colors the way he has them digitally, it's...
They can. Nuts. They've done a test and a test paint already. And they're Pantone, so whatever he does digitally, it can happen. And so it's unreal.
He is a symbol to me. And I've told him this. I said, somebody who works hard and is just good,
mm-hmm.
in that they are not like overly self-promotery. They are not doing anything crazy. They are not hucksters, shysters, whatever. He's just a guy who's really good,
mm-hmm.
and just does the thing. I am so glad to see him get recognition, get used to make cool stuff. Like, that makes my heart so happy.
Yeah, like, it's incredible. My goal is to connect people as much as possible to podcasts, and so once he sculpted the Ferb Zerker, it was like, okay, wherever I go, I'm going to take you with me and then show you to the world.
Yeah, so he's too freaking good. Another guy who is always really helpful is Prime.
Mm-hmm.
He's been super nice and super helpful and super honest, and I like honest people. The thing that I guess introduced me to a lot of the community was being a part of the Creatives,
mm-hmm.
Trading card set. I got, okay. So I don't know if you are going to say it in the preamble or whatever. I'm a pinch hitter,
mm-hmm.
for somebody who I don't know who they are. Doesn't matter. Somebody dropped out and I talked to you about whatever. So I got to be on this because you needed somebody and mm-hmm. I was available. Do you know Red Guardian? Are you familiar with Red at all?
No.
Okay, so I got to introduce you to you very similar human beings. So Red Guardian did the Creatives trading card set. He started it, and I watched the whole process for Series 1 come and go when he was, like, recruiting artists and all this other stuff. And then one random day, he posts on his stories, "Hey, guys, this is the final deadline. I really need your cards." And I fucked with him. I was like, "Do you mean to tell me that some artist has completely blown their deadlines? I am in shock that an artist would ever be so unprofessional as to completely ghost on their deadlines."
Mm-hmm.
I said, if you need somebody, I'm around.
Yeah.
Thinking literally nothing,
mm-hmm.
because as far as I will always be concerned, nobody knows who I am. Like, I am not a part of any major community, so I'm not, like, in the mix for anything. Figuring it would be a silly little statement to poke fun at him, and he would laugh and he would forget that he still needs to collect art from these people. He hits me up 45 minutes later. He says, "If you are not joking and you can get me 3 new unseen pieces in 3 days,
mm-hmm.
I will get you in." Okay. Terrifying. I did it. I did not blow the deadline and got in, and he was nice enough to, like, hook me up with, I was one of the foils, the foil cards in the set, and it was really nice. And he introduced me to people, and he was amazing in taking the artists that are part of that first set in particular.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the other ones. I'm sure he did that and more, but he, anytime somebody was doing a coordinated unboxing of the cards, he invited all the artists to go. And, you know, we would talk amongst ourselves and whatever. And then I want to say this was 2002.
Mm-hmm.
2002, he did a convention in New York. And I said, I was commissioned to do some sketch cards being part of the thing. And the few commissions that I got from it, people would be like, so are you going to the con? I had no intentions of going. I had whatever fear of things and burned out on cons and all the other business. But I went. I said, when the third or fourth person asked me, I was like, fuck it. Somebody's telling me to get on the boat. I might want to get on the boat.
Mm-hmm.
I went. I met a bunch of people. I met the guys from Martian Toys. I met Tenacious Toys. The guys, the folks from Plastic Pizza were super nice. Just a couple dozen really cool people, you know, Playful Gorilla, a handful of these guys that I had never met or known online or whatever. And a bunch of them were like, oh man, we really dig your work. And I was like, again, how the hell do you know who I am?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. But I really enjoyed it. So I kind of spent a couple of months talking to those guys and wanting to be a part of toy making and all that stuff. And at that point, I had been selling pins for a while. And at some point I was like, pins aren't really selling anymore. And I really don't want to be doing this as much as I would rather be making more weird characters. Cause I feel mm-hmm. like the stuff that I do character wise would fit in with the toy scene. And I would say the first couple months of last year, I was like, I got to wait until somebody can sculpt my figure. And I got to beg somebody to sculpt my figure. And I got to work with somebody to sculpt my figure. And I got to figure out how to pay for that for them and all this other stuff. And I was watching, I want to say Fed Up Toys and a few other folks on a live. And he mentioned Nomad, and I was like, I'm literally not doing anything else. I'm not selling pins. I don't have, the store's not moving. I'm not taking commissions. I'm bored.
Yeah.
Let's stretch, old man, and let's figure out if you can do something fun. And I sat down to learn Nomad. And, I can't wait to see where we go. Yeah. Honestly.
And now are a part of Making a Mutant, which is awesome.
Yeah.
I love that group.
I love Making a Mutant. I'm really enjoying, I believe it's called, I believe the person, the folks doing the show, it's Ghost Fox Toys.
Mm-hmm.
Are the people doing the candy themed gallery event?
Mm-hmm.
It's El Paso, Texas. I have yet to run into a bad group of folks. I would be remiss if I didn't mention 9 to 5 Warriors. He's a sweetheart. He helped me print my first couple of pieces. He's the reason that I got into MAM in the first place, because I was like getting somewhere mm-hmm. in the program, and then he was like, well, I mean, if you feel comfortable, I can talk to them and see if you can join the group. And that was awesome. That group of folks is again really giving of their time, really special folks. I know that I'm faster with a pencil
mm-hmm.
than I am sculpting. So like the commissions that I've done for you and the pieces that I've done for other people, I love to sort of feed off of people and like, okay, so if you have a figure already sculpted and you want some really fun stickers, people come to me and we do like sticker designs. I would love to do like original turnarounds for somebody if they needed that. But yeah, that's kind of my lane, I guess. I know I'll never be the best sculptor, but damn if I don't have good ideas and a fun style that, you know, I can help other people, you know, get that other stuff done at the same time. And my 1.0 and 2.0 figures are going to be sculpted by me.
Yeah.
You know, and I know that makes me better later on down the road when I get a sculpt from somebody. Like, no, this needs to be smoother. This isn't where we want it. This proportions aren't great. Like, let's, you know, focus on this and do that sort of stuff. But like, I've got, you know, I've got plans for people, you know?
Heck yeah, you do. So when you look over all the time you spent doing tabling and drawing and illustrating and commissions and some animation now with toys and all these things, in this next year, where do you want to be? Or where do you want to grow towards?
I need to do world building. I know that I really like the toys that I'm creating and the characters that I'm creating with. I know that if I don't introduce them to people, no one will give a damn.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm kind of bringing animation into the whole thing. And I'm going to be releasing like little snippets of animated stuff, essentially starring the characters of the toys that I'm making. And it's less animated G.I. Joe commercial and more like these are the stories that are there.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy the stories. If you want it on a t-shirt, I'll figure out how to do that.
Yeah.
But mostly like I'm here to create these cool figures and do all kinds of fun stuff with them. And I'm kind of like, because I'm not like a 1/12 collector or like an art toys collector specifically or whatever, I'm open to like, okay, you've got this, you do this. I've got this cool like space theme figure. If we kind of squash it and stretch it a little bit or do this or that, and you can help me add some joints to the thing, do you want to put it behind your car? Like to drive your 1/12, you know, vehicle or something? Or if I, you know, pull on this head and make it big, give it a big head and kind of give it a tiny body or whatever, has this form factor fit? Could we turn this into a Sofubi? I'm open to whatever. I am a trophy collector.
Mm-hmm.
I like working with people and doing stuff. So in a year, I know towards the end of the year, I want to have a decon table and do as much sort of showing off as I can. I see myself collaborating with people, either to do sticker designs with them or do original takes on their existing characters or whatever. And just kind of building my own sort of roster up of toys that I want to see through to the end and keep pushing. Like, you know, if I close my eyes, I see my decon table at the end of the year. And I see like essentially three big figures and, you know, a few, you know, this and that versions of stuff that I might do for gallery shows and whatever. But I see toys, I see some stickers and I see some pins and I see just the fruition and the continuation of character stuff that I've always done.
That's, dude, that's some ambitious goals and I love every bit of it. Cause if we don't set those goals, it ain't happening.
Dude, we don't set the goals, it ain't happening. If you don't have it in front of you and actually like put forth the effort, it just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen. If you don't ask for it, if you don't put it in front of yourself and actually put the work in, it's not going to happen.
Right. Man.
It's
man,
just not.
Man. Awesome.
You know.
Dude, thank you so much for coming on Toys on Tap, rocking the house. Means the world. The last bit of the podcast for every artist is to plug everyone or anything or all their stuff or whatever you got going on. So plug away, my guy.
Give me a follow on Instagram. You won't be disappointed with what's happening. There's a lot of stuff kind of brewing very slowly, but you'll have the opportunity to pick up some fun sticker stuff, some fun toy stuff, some for you collector folks, some one of ones, some like one of two or threes,
mm-hmm.
like some very like limited paint master style stuff. Stick with me. I'm a fun follow and you won't be disappointed in what's happening.
Heck yeah. Dude, thank you for coming on.
For sure.